Yo, yo, Prince, one of them ones, I'm in the mix. Talking hoops, dropping gems, let's fix. Women's ball, we elevate, bring it to the mainstream. Key coming with facts, we a dream team. Breakdown plays, ain't no cliches. From the court to the screen, every detail displayed. Got the WNBA shining bright. Click the like button if you feeling it right. Excuse the takeover, taking charge. Women's game front and center, living large. Hit that subscribe, stay tuned to the ride. We bringing the heat, never gonna hide. From skyhooks to swishes, we capture the wishes of ballers making waves in the biggest of dishes. Prince one and key, got the knowledge artillery. Dropping truth bombs effectively, brilliantly. Excuse the takeover, taking charge. Women's game front and center, living large. Hit that subscribe, stay tuned to the ride. We bringing the heat, never gonna hide.
Analyzing chat, every stat interact, breaking barriers. No cap, that's a fact. Leave a comment below, watch the growth unfold. Together we gon' make this story be told.
What's up, y'all? What's going on? What's going on? How you feeling, Prince?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Hey, this is a great day. We got Excuse the Takeover. Then right after Excuse the Takeover ends, we got the championship game for Unrivaled. Man, I mean, I'm excited. This is a good day for me, man. This is a good day for me. I'm good.
Yeah, facts. It's definitely an exciting day for women's basketball. We got a lot to get into because there's so much going on in the WNBA and Unrivaled and in March Madness. So we have so much to talk about. Y'all on in, get your little snacks, your little drink, kick your feet up, pull us up on the TV, pull us up on the phone. We're going to let y'all come in here before we kind of get into everything. What's going on? What's going on? Listen, y'all.
Pull up. The game ain't start yet. Pull up.
Not at all. Pull up for the Unrivaled pregame. Pull up for the Unrivaled pregame with us, Key and Prince. You feel me? Where I'm going to hit you with the key facts. And, you know, Zoe's going to get into the nitty gritty of everything. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and share. Turn the notification button. And if you're subscribed to me, make sure you're subscribed to Zoe. And if you are subscribed to Prince, make sure you're subscribed to me. But I want to let y'all, I'm going to give y'all a couple more minutes to come on in here because I don't need nobody saying, you know, you was too late. Yeah, they talking about something else when we been started.
I didn't get the notification.
Facts. So come on in, y'all. Come on in. You feel me? The numbers are climbing. I'm really excited about everything we're going to get into. Seriously, and then after tonight, it's crazy. You think you get a break after tonight? March Madness starts. So.
Madness kicks off.
Like it's never ending. It's never ending at all. What's going on? What's going on, chat? What's going on, y'all? As you know, if you have anything important to say, any questions you want us to ask, go ahead and hit up the super chat. We'll get directly to you. I'm gonna give maybe like another minute or so, and then we're gonna get into everything. What's going on, chat? Excuse the Takeover is back with another banger where we're gonna give our thoughts and takes on the latest and greatest in women's basketball. Come on through, everybody, because we're gonna get into it.
Hey, Key, before we end, I did add our trailer to the clips is actually uploading right now.
What you mean? The outro? We already got an outro.
I added it to the thing. So it's uploading right now. It'll be done
right
by
now.
Time get to
okay. Point. I got you.
But hit that like right. button. Come on in, man. This is pregame. Let's get it together. Hey, y'all, the numbers is climbing. Continue to come in here and hit that like button.
For sure. Hit that like button, comment, subscribe, and share. We about to get into it, though, y'all. We got a lot to talk about, and we got to talk about it before the championship game comes on. So without further ado, we got to talk about some of these awards that were given out over the weekend and the week last week. Talk about our thoughts on who won MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. So let's talk about it, y'all. Let's talk about Unrivaled Honors. Nafisa Collier wins MVP. Angel Reese wins Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, I could go on and on, but I'm going to give you the floor first, Prince, to tell me, how do you feel, you know what I'm saying, what you think about Nafisa Collier winning MVP and Angel Reese winning Defensive Player of the Year in the first inaugural season for Unrivaled?
Hey, look, today's championship game, so the season is, we haven't done a live since the season ended. So let me congratulate Stewie, that's Brianna Stewart, and Nafisa, aka Fee MVP, on putting this together. Shout out to all the sponsors for supporting the ladies. Shout out to everybody who brought tickets. Shout out to everybody who done live streams, who've done post games, who've done reporting, tweets. Y'all support makes everything what it is when you think about sports. Without y'all support, the sport is just the sport itself. It's not electrifying as we want it to be. So let me give my thanks to Fee and Stewie for putting this on, so the ladies ain't got to go overseas. They can stay home. Their families can actually see them play in the off season. That's what a lot of people, you know, don't talk about, like how they're able to actually be able to showcase their talent in front of some of their family members who might can't make the games during the regular season, right? So shout out to them for putting this together. It was a great season. I can't wait for season number two. It's going to be even bigger. I expect more teams, more players that played overseas, that played in Athletes Unlimited to kind of switch over, because this was definitely the most electrifying league for the WNBA offseason this for 2025. But Fee honestly was the best player on the court and almost every game she played in, right? Maybe one or two games here or there. Hold on, let me see. They say my mic low. Let me turn it up a little bit.
I mean, you sounded fine to me, but I see they saying that.
Yeah, I could turn it up a little bit. Let me see. I'll turn it right there. All right. So for me, Fee was the MVP from start to finish. She put up the most points per game, double-digit rebounds, block shots, steals. They only lost one game. We're going to get into their game yesterday where they choked. We're going to get into that. But this is a regular season award. Let's stick to the regular season. So shout out to Fee for putting the league together and stamping her name in the history books as Unrivaled's first MVP of the league. And she got a chance to double back and run it again next year because she's still young. She's still in her prime, and the league is just going to grow, which you're going to get more eyes and more chances for her to get even more votes, right? On the other end of the court, remember, there's two sides to the court. So shout out to, I call a big dog Reese. I don't even call her Angel. I call a big dog Reese. See, that's the Louisiana talk. Y'all know, in Louisiana, we call a big dog Reese. Shout out to big dog Reese on Defensive Player of the Year. I told y'all, even during the WNBA season, Angel Reese, Angel Big Dog Reese, was one of the best defensive players in the league. The accolades weren't there for her, but this league literally showed. The thing I like about this league, when you think about how to really evaluate a player's talent, what they bring to the game, in 3-on-3, your talent is either highlighted or it's exposed. If you're not really a great ball handler, in 3-on-3 is going to be exposed. If you can actually shoot, in 3-on-3 is going to be exposed, and it's going to highlight how you can shoot or how you can't shoot. It's going to highlight those who actually play team defense versus those who actually play individual defense and can eliminate a player or half of the court. That's when you think about how you can isolate productivity. So 3-on-3 gives you a chance to really either highlight or be exposed. And Angel Reese highlighted while she's one of the best defensive players going into year two. And this is her inauguration into making multiple defensive player of the year and first or second team all defense. This is our inauguration into being part of the conversation. Again, when you think about your first, second teams on offense and defensively, a lot of it is reputation. So I think Unrivaled is helping her build her reputation going into year number two. is letting others know she's not there to play. Is letting others know what they're up against. Every time they go up against her, it ain't no night off. So get your strap your boots up, take the heels off, strap your boots up, go get your lunch pail, get your Wheaties, get your asparagus, Himalayan salt, no regular salt, because you're coming to get some work in the day. That's how Angel should be tweeting that to all of them. Before she play every last one of them, that should be her tweet. And she put on, but shout out to the ladies, man. It was a great season. Shout out to the MVP, Nafisa Collier. Shout out to Defensive Player of the Year and Angel Reese, who was able to guard literally 1 through 5 on the court, and it showed. So shout out to both of those ladies, man.
Facts. Everything you said was, I mean, on point about both players and how they played this season in Unrivaled. But this league honestly set the bar going forward for other leagues and the WNBA specifically. We all know that they have the CBA coming up to renegotiate. Don't forget, Unrivaled had saunas. They could get facials. They had trainers on board. They could use the gym whenever they wanted to. They had daycare, right? I understand with the men may not need certain things, but women do need different things. You understand what I'm saying? And Unrivaled showed like, yo, we're going to show up for our players in a way that we haven't seen before or we haven't been treated. So that's another reason to shout out Breonna Stewart and Nafisa Collier for making a players league and listening to the players and making things better for them and kind of creating a bargaining tool for the CBA with the WNBA. And I think they did that on purpose. Now, I know they planned the league, obviously, prior to, so that's what that is. But I do think that they understand what's at stake here. And they put Unrivaled on the map just to do that. So definitely to the presidents, to the investors. Steph Curry just invested, Wanda Sykes and her wife. Like, it's just been people just piling in to invest. I saw D Wade there with Gabrielle last night. So you never know, that might come up next. But people are loving the competition of it all. People could talk about the views and everything, which they're only counting TV views when nobody really watch TV no more for real. They're not really counting social media, the clicks, all of that, which matters more than views nowadays. People don't understand that when it comes to marketing. I love everything that they're doing now. As far as Nafisa Collier winning MVP, I definitely saw that coming. I think her only challenge would have been Chelsea Gray, right? But Chelsea is not a both sides of the ball, you know what I mean, type of player per se. So I could see how Fee kind of beats her out with that edge. But she was the best player in this league. She definitely deserved to win MVP. And that just, I feel like, kind of goes without saying. So shout out to her again for winning that. And then, you know, Angel Reese, man, she is a player, man. Like,
big dog. You got to say big dog.
You already know. I know if y'all watched that Indiana Fever game when she swept that and Holly was asking her, Angel, how did you do it? Y'all was down by 13. And she said, I'm a dog. You can't teach that. So we already know big dog Reese going to win the Defensive Player of the Year. I just wanted to see if people was going to recognize it, whether she got it or not. I was giving her flowers already, giving her roses, if you will, that she was going to win that, because it was just clear as day to me that she was the best defensive player. I do feel as though had she got some more minutes, she might have made first team and been in the talks for some other stuff
talk
as
about
well.
It.
So,
talk about
so I mean, with the limited amount of time she had going down with another injury, I mean, come on, y'all. It's a short season, short quarters. Everything is shorter. And she was able to pull this out. So shout out to Nafisa Collier and Angel Reese for doing what they do and being great on both sides of the court. We got a super chat here.
All I ask is when you lay your head on that pillow at night, do I gave you everything I had?
Hey, shout out to Carte Blanco for the $4.99 super chat. Fee was clearly the best player in every game she played, except when she played the roles, which is a shining example of why Angel deserved B-Boy. Hey, Cart, you said it. I ain't say it. You said it. I've been thinking
it.
That.
Hey, you said it. We just talked about it. You said it.
You said it, right? You right. Look, because honestly, the only team to beat the Owls during the regular season was the Rose, and that was when Angel played like 20 plus minutes. I think she had a double-double that game. I think she had like 23 and 12 or something. It's just like Zoe said, everybody got to be on notice now. Like, year two is loading, and it's going to be scary hours for real. So everybody got to be prepared for that, because she's not letting up. She don't care about none of what you say you are. None of she said on her Unapologetically Angel episode, she coming for it all. She coming for all defense, depoy, all of that. She said she want it all. So we're going to see what happens in the WNBA, but I wouldn't be surprised to see her on some of those teams. Now, speaking of Angel, we got to get into some bad news that we got over the past couple days after her last game played. You know what I'm saying? Is Angel Reese's wrist injury serious, and should Chicago Sky be worried? For me, me and Zoe watched that game together along with Showtime and them. I feel as though Angel, the type of player she is, if she gets hurt, she's going to play through it. But when she shows visible pain, things like that, I think that it's a little bit more serious. Now, I'm not going to say I think the injury is serious per se, like she re-cracked it or she got to have surgery again or anything like that. I just think that she fell on a previously hurt wrist, and it wasn't that long ago, y'all. And it might have been extremely painful for her.
Three months ago, she started playing again.
I think
it was like 3 months. Yeah, it was like end of September. Going into October,
correct. Yep.
Yeah, and she was out like 2.5 months. I know she started training again around, it was after Thanksgiving, but before Christmas.
Correct.
So yeah, she's really been playing maybe 3.5 months, maybe.
Yeah, so that's not a lot of time. And then the way Angel lands, we could critique it, but she has to land better. She's always bracing herself. Yeah, exactly.
that's what people got to remember. Even I had to at first, because you know I'm an athlete, so I catch myself sometimes by landing on my hands.
On your hands,
but that weight got to come with it. So it might just look like she just caught a gravity with her hands, but after them hands touch the ground, your body come after that. So
right, and it's putting pressure on it. So definitely think that she got to tap somebody for how to fall properly. I said football players have to do the same thing when they slide to get concussions and stuff like that. So she definitely got to tap somebody for that. But I don't think it's too crazy. I think it's just right now they're not willing to risk it getting worse or her cracking it or something like that for the Chicago Sky. So I say I don't think the Chicago Sky should be worried. But what do you think? Do you think the injury is more serious? Do you think the Chicago Sky should be worried?
For me, any hand injuries, cause I actually broke my, my thumb and my pinky, like hand injuries are so important, especially for bigs like Angel. I always say like Angel has the best hands in the league to me. I'm talking rebounding, picking your pocket, playing the passing lane. Like she has the best hands in the league. So for me, I'm a little concerned because her the way she utilizes her hands are so important to her game. Like because it's just she's a workhorse type of player, and they're real aggressive with their hands a lot. Like maybe if she was a shooter over time, get her shot back, but that's not really her game. You know what I'm saying? She uses her hands a lot. And that's weird to say because everybody uses their hands, but it's like her best talent is how she utilizes her hands. That's her best talent. It's the rebounding. It's the picking pockets. It's the playing the passing lanes. So for me, I'm a little concerned moving forward because I know from experience myself, from having thumb surgery and having a carpal tunnel from like typing, I had to have that in college as well. The way this is whenever they cleaned out the bacteria. But I can still feel it sometimes when it's cold. So I am concerned because she, I don't think she gave it enough time to be 100%, and just the wrong fall, the wrong body torque, when you ain't 100%, it could re-injure those things. So we wishing, we praying for the best. I'm just a little concerned because I know those kind of injuries, they linger throughout the rest of your career. You know, it's like, it's really hard to explain it. You got to really be through it. And I've seen players like have wrist surgery and they're never the same again. Like every now and then they need to ice it. It gets swollen a little bit during cold days, no matter how much medicine therapy you do. I would say hands and ankles are two of the most dangerous injuries that can linger throughout your career. I mean, when you think about the NBA, Steph Curry, like his first 4 years was just ankle injury after ankle injury. Now he literally has to play with the braces. A lot of people forget that about Steph Curry's career in the beginning. It was ankle injury after ankle injury. Then he went in and got it cleaned up. Then he started wearing the braces. So for her, I'm wondering if she'll probably, according to like her medical staff, I'm pretty sure she has top-notch medical staff. I'm wondering if they're going to probably recommend some kind of hand brace, probably going into next year, probably just for 1 year, maybe 1 year just to see how the injury kind of like heals on its own. If it doesn't heal on its own, she might have to get some cleanup done. It depends. We don't really know the severity of the injury. It's just that it's two back-to-back injuries, same risk, correct?
Yes.
It's basically as a re-injury, basically. It's a re-injury because she fell on both wrists. So for that one to hurt, it's really a re-injury. Let's call it what it is. She re-injured that wrist. And yeah. I don't want to speak hindsight 2020, but I don't know if you was around at the time, but everybody was against me on, I didn't want Angel Reese to even play an Unrivaled. I was like, Angel Reese needs to go to Cabo, clear her head, get away from social media, heal up, and get ready for the season. So that was my take on it. Cause I know I was like, even before this, I was like, I know how serious hand injuries are and how they can linger throughout your career. Yeah. Somebody like her that uses her hands are one of her biggest weapons. So I am a little concerned to start the season. I'm pretty sure with the medical, the rehab and stuff, like I'm pretty sure she's gonna bounce back. But yeah, she needs to chill out and get healed up. This is an important season for Chicago Sky going into 2026 free agency, right? This is an important season for them. But I think she'll be all right to start the season. I haven't heard any reports about required surgeries or how serious it is. So everything we're saying is kind of like hindsight 2020. So we'll see. But I'm praying.
Yeah, I mean, she got a month. I think the season starts middle, so a month and a half. Well, I guess 2 months because these last couple of weeks of March and then April. And then I think the preseason starts mid-May. So she got about a month or so. I know that first injury too, it was like, oh, it's a crack. You got to get a screw in it, surgery to get a screw in it. If she would have kept playing, the crack would have got big. She would have never been able to play ever again. So she was like, nah, I got to get the surgery and fix it. So it'd just be wild if like she re-injured it for real, for real. I was hoping it's just like a bruise, a stain, sprain or something like that. But I hear what you're saying, and I'm definitely hoping with her, you know, having access to the best medical staff that she can get, that they figure out a plan for that to really heal up so that she can kind of transcend in a way that we pretty much see her transcending.
Yeah.
So
a lot of people don't know this, but KG had the same injury and he was never the same. Like
in his wrist,
that same injury. Yep.
Same for injury. Real.
Yep.
Did he keep injuring it?
He. I don't know if it was mental with him or just the injury, but he kind of went away from his patent elbow shot. He kind of went away from it, like mm-hmm. But he had the same injury when he was in Minnesota.
Facts.
So
okay.
I don't know. And he talked about it on his show that
it still plagues them. So I'm from experience, I've been in the locker room with guys who had wrist surgery. Like it stays with you. It ain't going nowhere, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, hopefully she heals up, kind of like what you said with Steph Curry. Like hopefully it's something like that. And it doesn't plague her that much. But let's get into a couple more superlatives that happened in Unrivaled. We had the all first team and all second team announced. I ain't gonna lie, I kind of was expecting maybe because this is the first season, I was expecting a little like a more awards, like a fourth man of the year or something like that, you know, instead of six.
Key, you probably gave her an idea.
Yeah, I thought they was gonna have, they should a fourth because a sixth man of the year in the WNBA, so you have a fourth man of the year and 3-on-3, right? And then
honestly, I think they should have had three teams.
You think so?
Yeah,
because it's not.
It's a play on words. It's 3-on-3, and you got to think about it. It ain't five players, so the spots are limited.
Limited, yeah. Because in the WNBA, it'd be all first team, all second team. Like you know what I mean? Yeah. So I feel like because it's less player, they could have had because the first and second in the WNBA is 5-and-5, right?
So yeah, it's 5-and-5. So that's 10 players. They only did 6. Yeah. But like, because I honestly think Hamby and Alicia Gray would have been on that third team.
That's what I said. I had them in place of Ryan Howard. One of them in place of Ryan Howard, to be completely honest with y'all. I'm so sorry. I thought that Derek and Hamby and Alicia Gray played way better than Ryan Howard personally. So I definitely had them on second team. So that's just my perspective. I feel like they kind of got snubbed. So I definitely think they should have a third team next year. I think they should. Obviously, next year, they'll be able to have a most improved player after it being the first season. If they, you know, have most of the same people come back, they'll have a most improved player. What else do they be having in the WNBA?
Six man, most improved, MVP. Defensive player of the year, the two teams. Did they have a defensive team?
No.
They didn't have an all defensive team either. That'd be cool. That'd
yeah.
Be cool. All defensive team.
Yeah.
At least one team, at least a first team all defense. That'd
yeah.
Cool. I would just be interested to see, be interested to see who the guard would be. Who you think the guard would have been?
The guards were underwhelming.
Maybe Skylar probably would.
Yeah, maybe Skylar. Maybe Skylar.
Maybe Sykes.
I was gonna say maybe Sykes, but
Sykes she missed a couple games. She missed like 2 or 3 games.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Skylar would have got in over on that. I think Skylar would have been the guard. If I look around the league, because nobody on the Phantom really stood out as far as the guards defensively. Mm. They had Natasha Cloud and Heidemann for a little bit. Rose, only one would be Sykes. Yeah, it would have been Skylar.
Yeah, and you know what? When you really look at these teams, the defense was lack. I think that's why Angel Reese by far, it was like, who else would it be? Like, seriously, who else would it be? Because when you really look at it, the defense is, even from some of the bigs, like the defense is lacking, you know what I'm saying? So the all defensive team might actually been a little hard to even fill up for real. But yeah, I think Skylar would have been on there. McBride always plays pretty good defense as well. I can't say that it was like, or maybe I just didn't catch it during Unrivaled that it was like the same as when she's in the dub.
Well, McBride would have been my forward. Because if you look at all the lists, you got a big, a forward, and a guard. So for me, it would have been Skylar, Angel Reese, and McBuckets. That would have been my first team.
Yeah, facts. Who, if you could have picked a fourth person, then who would your fourth person be?
For first team or defense or all defense?
No. Fourth, like a fourth man of the year, fourth person of the year.
Oh, it would have been. It would have been between Courtney Williams and I wanted Jackie Young, but she didn't play enough. But when she played,
she did not play enough.
So it would have probably been Courtney Williams. I'm trying to think who else came off the bench.
Right.
Courtney Williams. Because who came off the bench for the vinyl?
Because
Jewel Lloyd, Ryan Howard, and Arike started, right?
No, not Jewel Lloyd. Jordan Canada.
Jordan Canada. It was Jordan Canada, Arike, and Ryan Howard. Or yeah. Hamby.
It was Hamby. It was Howard,
somebody
Arike.
Came off the bench. Which one of them came off the bench?
At first, it was Arike, Ryan Howard, and De'Erica Hamby. But then Ryan Howard went to the bench. And it was Jordan Canada, Arike, and De'Erica Hamby. And Arike got hurt. You feel me? So, yeah. So then they put Ryan Howard back in. So who would Aaliyah Boston was coming off the bench. And Ray Burrell.
Yeah, so Courtney Williams would have got that. Courtney Williams would have got it. Even though she was inconsistent, I just don't see nobody else that was on a winning team. Because I ain't trying to think about the Phantom. Nobody off the Rose was consistent enough.
Who was coming off the bench for the Laces? Stephanie Dolson and who?
Laces, Big G. Who's their starters? Big G start? I think
so.
G, Mick Buckets, and Tip.
Yeah,
who else on that team? Jackie Young's on that team.
AT started, right?
And AT. So AT. So I mean, Big G or Courtney Williams. That's probably the only two.
You keep saying Big G. It's throwing me off. Who the hell is
Big G, man?
It's my Steph Dolson.
Huh? Yeah.
No. Well, who you throwing me off?
Yeah,
I'm like
Dolson.
Oh, I'm like
that's big gangster, man. That's big gangster right there.
Geez. Hey, she be under there hacking, man. She be under there tying people right up. There. Tying people
yeah,
up.
Yeah. I mean, because Hamby, Arike, and John Howard started for the vinyl. So my three would have been Courtney Williams, Stephanie Dolson, and Jordan Canada. And I would have went with Courtney Williams. So Courtney Williams would have been I think they would have got the most votes. Them three would have got the most votes.
Yeah. That's fair. I know a lot of people were saying the T-shirt because she was getting bounced around to every team like that. I mean, she was getting passed around for real, and she would show up. So a lot of people felt that way. But listen, it's 107 people in here. Hey, make sure y'all hitting the like button on both channels. If you follow me, go ahead and follow Prince. If you follow Prince, follow me. Comment, subscribe, and share, and click the all notification button so you know every time we drop a video, a short, and a live. You don't want to miss it. Now, we got to get into last night. I'm glad we're getting here because, listen, the unrivaled semifinals set the basketball world off. I don't care what nobody say. It's so exciting, like, how unrivaled set this up. Kind of similar to March Madness because the season is so short. So it's a one and done. It ain't no best out of five. It ain't no best out of seven. You got to bring your A game in the semifinals or it's over for you. You feel me? So listen, the semifinals matchups was something you did not want to miss. If you missed it, hey, if you got Max or anything like that, make sure you watch it before tonight's final because you missed two good games. Listen, it had me, quiet, talking, mad, happy, going through a roller coaster of emotions. You feel what I'm saying? Chat, let me know how y'all felt about the semifinals last night. How'd y'all feel about it? Drop the fire emoji. You feel me? If you was loving it and everything that was going on, you know how about it. Listen, I'm going to start with the Rose and the Laces. That was a great matchup. Shout out to Nas Hillman for subbing in for Angel with that injury. I'm going to go ahead and say it. She was the unsung hero of that game. Seriously. I think without Nas Hillman, hey, I don't know how that would have went. Now, we got to talk about the infamous Chelsea Gray. Shout out to Chelsea Gray, the thief in the night. You know what I'm saying? She's going to come steal your joy every time. Just when you think you finna win the game, just when you think you got it, Chelsea Gray is gonna come through and hit like 9 straight buckets in your face. It was crazy. Hey, I was frustrated to start because I felt
he was going through it.
Man,
he was having mood swings yesterday. Y'all had to be there to see it, man.
For sure. Because I'm like, yo, pass the ball, share the ball, get others involved because you may need them down the line and they haven't got a touch yet and got into the game. So eventually she starts to hit Nas on the pick and roll, you feel me? And then she comes out in the third or the – was it the third or the fourth? Man, she just came out guns blazing.
It was the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter. I'm talking about back to back to back to back. Just hit it in their face. Walked them down, okay? Walked them down, and then to end the game, she almost hit remember when Steph Curry hit that shot in the Olympics? It was like one of the last shot, and he hit the.
How about the one over Wimby? Nick Batum.
Yeah, it was.
One over Nick Batum.
He had a play where he hit it over. It was the French one, and it was it was over two players. Like
that's the Nick Batum one.
Yeah, so, man.
I think it was Nick Batum and Fournier. Fournier was actually guarding him. A screen came. And he shot it over both of them.
It was so crazy. I lost my mind when he did that. I lost my mind the same way last night when Chelsea Gray hit that shot on both of those laces pretty much. One of them was a little bit too late, but it was still two players right there. She hit that three, and it was game over. And what she did, she yelled, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Walked to the end of the court. Hey, Dwayne Wade was on the other end of the court with his hands up like this. Like, yo, I got to witness this in person. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was just so exciting. So talk to me a little bit about how you felt watching that semifinals matchup between the Roses and the Lace.
Look. I was going through it as far as I didn't like the first half play calling. The pick and roll wasn't there. The shot selection was wonky from everybody. I don't think they knew what plays they were running. It was just your turn, my turn. They didn't get out in transition a lot, which is weird for that kind of team. Sykes did, I think, had one or two transition layups, but outside of that, they really didn't run a lot. It was kind of a lot of half-court ISO offense. Mm-hmm. That's why at halftime, I was saying the Rose should have been up at least 8 points, 8 to 9 points, if they would have just found a good set that could work for them. Because at the end of the day, the Lakers was giving them the game. They just were taking bad shot after bad shot. Like, the Lakers weren't playing great defense. They were giving them the lane. They were just pulling up jumpers. I was going through it with Chelsea. I was like, pass the ball. No, don't pass the ball. Pass the ball. No, you shoot it. Pass the ball. Yeah. I was like that the whole game in my head. And in the end, Chelsea Gray showed why the Aces. She was part of one of the main reasons the Aces two-peated. I mean, and you know what I'm saying? And it has been a competitor. Has been a championship contender every year since she's been with the Aces. So she just shows what the Aces got out of Duke, what they seen in her. And now some of the fans who aren't able to see all the Aces games, they're able to see front and center the type of player Chelsea Gray is and why she's highly respected and talked about a lot. So that's why I love the Unrivaled, because it gets – fans who don't got the WNBA league pass or ain't in that market, they're able to just go to HBO and they'll air all the games, right? Like, I think that's a great thing for Unrivaled. So I think going into next season, Chelsea Gray will have some more fans. Lexi Hall will have some more fans.
For sure.
Sykes will have some more fans who like players that bring energy. Like, all of these Unrivaled players are going to have new fans going into next season. Just because of the stage they were on. And the fans, they were able to see their talents versus reading it on a stat sheet. They were able to see how Chelsea got 39 instead of reading it on a stat sheet or seeing the highlights. Right. They were able to – sometimes when you live through the moment with someone, you appreciate it more. Like, if we wouldn't have watched that game, we wouldn't have appreciated what Chelsea did. You get what I'm saying? Like, it would have been a different – they would have been like, okay, Chelsea hit the game winner, had 39, Rose won. We wouldn't have seen the ups and downs. We wouldn't have seen the nine. straight points from her, the heater she was on. We wouldn't have seen a lot of that. Even Nas, we wouldn't have seen the impact she had on this game. Like, the second half, Nas was the MVP of the second half for me because she helped change the momentum of the game. She made the laces and AT switch what they were trying to do. AT was trying to go bullet ball, and Nas said, not today. And on the other end, she was able to get Chelsea more possessions to be her by the pick and roll. When Nas came in, the pick and roll came back to life again because in the first half, it wasn't there. Nas came in, the pick and roll came back alive. She had a few buckets on pick and roll. Chelsea was looking for her. So Chelsea is one of my favorite players to watch as well. She's in my top 10 just to watch in the league. So Chelsea great. She showed the casual fans or those who actually aren't familiar with her game coming out of Duke, her championship with the Aces. She showed them who she was. It was an amazing weekend. It was an amazing weekend. The Lunar Isles, man.
Let's get into it.
Y'all had them, and y'all let them off the rope. Y'all had them against the rope. Y'all had them against the rope, and the vinyl pulled the Ili. The vinyl pulled the Ili and hit y'all with the rope of dope. They hit y'all with the rope of dope. They came out guns blazing. Scholar Diggins hootie hooting. Nafisa making buckets, looking back at the players. I think she finished with 36, but it just wasn't enough. Hamby went to work. Ryan Howard went to work. Arike didn't even play. Hey, the vinyl just sometimes, Key, the basketball gods, they just respect the players who wanted more, a little more sometimes. Talent, yep. talent only wins so many games.
Yeah,
the vinyl. If you watch that fourth quarter, they did the dirty work. They was getting Ray Burrell was getting on the ground for loose balls. She was running back. The Lunar Isles had a 1-on-3. Ray Burrell knocked it out of hand. Like they came to play in that fourth quarter. And Hamby said, "Give me the ball and get out the way." 1-on-1 with the MVP, who a lot of people say is one of the best defenders in the league, who won Defensive Player of the Year last year. Hamby said, This is y'all defensive player of the year. Is this y'all queen? Is this y'all queen? That's what Hamby said. Hamby said, is this y'all queen? And she went to work. Game, bucket, turn the lights off, go home. That's what happened. Shout out to the vinyl.
Facts. Listen, I mean, I lost my mind. So I'm gonna let y'all know, prior to the semifinal, I wanted the vinyl to win. Because I know we could beat the Owls, but I feel like we could beat the Vinos more. That's just me being selfish. And so I had already wanted them to win. But as I was watching it, I was like, man, yeah, nah, like they're not going to win. I just didn't think they were. Ryan Howard, I needed her to step up. Ryan Howard's like 7 of 29. And so I'm like, she finna shoot them out the game, all of that. Man, keep watching. And they really walked the Owls down. But, you know, sometimes teams, y'all, I noticed they play not to lose instead of playing to win. And I think that the Owls got comfortable thinking we got the lead, we got the up, whatever the case may be. And so they kind of went into cruise control thinking we could just get there, especially in the third. I think by the end of the third, they were up 10 or something like that. And the vinyl,
it was a double digit lead.
Yeah, like 10 or something like that. And so the end score was plus 11. Like, I don't know how you let them walk you down like that. I don't know how you don't, you know, get on your stuff. But that last play, pass it into Hamby. Like she actually,
I think it was a 21-9 run.
Like, yes,
they went on.
Yes, it was crazy. when it mattered. But they pass it into Hamby. Hamby actually broke the play. And so she was supposed to, I think, pass it off to Ryan Howard or something like that. But she broke the play and just took feed, did a step through, laid it up with the left hand, and it was over with. I mean, it was crazy. And then the Owls couldn't get out the gym fast enough, y'all. They could not get out the gym fast enough. I mean, they took off. Listen, I just don't understand how you win MVP, and this isn't just on Fee, it's on the whole team, but you win MVP. You're clearly the best team in the entire league. I think they went 13-1, and when it counts, y'all lose. This is when it counts. Won 13 games. When people have mentioned, this is like when the Warriors, I think they went, what was that, 72 game?
No, it was 73-9. They broke the Chicago Bulls 72-10 record. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they did not win that year. So I know they feel a lot of things. Nafisa, especially, she lost in the WNBA. And now she lost in a rival. But it's still shout out to her for even creating this stage and being big enough to lose in front of all these people. But they definitely fumbled it. And then shout out to Teaspoon. Because even Hamby was talking about it, like, yo, she just never stopped believing in us. She just kept hyping us up. And I get it, X's and O's is everything, but sometimes just having that motivated leader can get you over the hump. And Hamby continued to give her props for that. So shout out to the Vinyls for making it to the finals. The Rose to make it to the finals is Rose versus the Vinyl. So hey, chat. Go ahead and let me know who y'all have between the Rose and the Vinyl. Go ahead and let me know. And you let me know, Zo, who you have and what it will take for that team to win.
I'm going with the Rose. I know Arike isn't playing today either. So yep. That's going to help us as far as defensively with our guards. We know Chelsea Gray's defense is hit or miss and unrivaled. She definitely plays better defense during the season. I even got on her at the beginning of the season. I had a whole tirade because I was telling people, I was like, I'm an Aces fan. I know Chelsea Gray is better than this. And people was like, nah, it's unrivaled. You got to adjust. I was like, no, Chelsea Gray is not playing to win. Chelsea Gray is out here. This is the Chelsea Gray that plays to win. This is the Chelsea Gray I know. That I watched for the last 6 years. This is Chelsea Gray that I fell in love with. Right. So I think the Rose win. I think the Rose win by, I don't got a final score, but I think they win by 5. Some of the facts, some of the things that we got to think about for the Rose. I'll give a take on both teams on how both teams can actually win. For the Rose, we got to limit Ryan Howard's 3-point attempts. We got to get her to put the ball on the floor. I would actually put Sykes on Ryan Howard. I don't care about the height. I just want her to put the ball on the floor. I would actually put Sykes on Ryan Howard. Hamby, we gotta stay out of foul trouble and keep her from her elbow shot. Chase her off that elbow and just play straight up defense, hands up. Stevens, hands up. Nas Hillman, use your body to keep her from getting to her spots and hands up, because she gets a lot of points from the free throw line. I mean, hey, look, when you like are a player like Hamby, if you can get to your spots, you're not winning. So keep her out of foul trouble, because we only really got one true big, which is Nas. AZ is really a stretch. So for the Rose, keep Ryan Howard off the 3-point line and keep Hammy from getting foul shots and getting to her elbow spot. If she shoots mid-range kind of 15 out, we'll live with that, right? She gets to that far corner, we'll live with those shots. Just keep off that elbow, keep her away from the nail, and we'll be fine. Now for the Vinyl, contain Chelsea and control the boards. That's how they win. Contain Chelsea and control the boards. So X factor for both teams. I think Ray Burrell is the X factor for the Vinyl. And I think Nas Hillman is going to be the X factor for the Rose. So, and I got the Rose winning by 5. I got the Rose winning the championship. And Chelsea's my MVP.
I got the Rose winning, and yeah, likely Chelsea will be the MVP of that as well. I think Nova needs to play that double big lineup multiple times throughout the game because they are a big team. Now, I understand that Aaliyah Boston ain't, you know what I'm saying, killing it per se, but, you know, if we want to win, you know what I'm saying, I think you have that double big might help a little bit at times, for sure, depending on who's in the game, obviously. So I think we do need to play that sometimes. And I agree with you, making sure you be straight up, because she could go off for sure when she's ready. Ryan, I mean, definitely have Sykes on Ryan. I would hate for this to be the game she actually goes, because she has like once every, you know what I mean? Like every five games, it's like she can't miss. So I would hate for this to be that game, but I'm not that worried about Ryan, I guess you could say.
I mean, last game she shot 11 threes. That is wild.
She be shooting them out the game. Like 11 threes is crazy. 7 of 29 is crazy. What percentage is that?
No, she took 11 threes. The lunar hours of the team only took 15.
She was bugging. Hey,
she was 4 foot. She was 4 for 11. So that's about 31%. Yeah. Somewhere around that, 31-35%. 31, probably 31, closer to 31%.
You talking about the three, not her entire field goal percentage, right?
Yeah, just threes. She was 3 for 11 from three. 4 for 11 from three. She was 9 for 24 from the field, though. So she took the most shots. She, her and Fee, took 24 shots each.
God damn, 7 for 24. Okay, you know who do be disrupting Ryan? Lexi actually do be disrupting the hell out of Ryan. She be bothering the hell out of her. However. Okay. Lexi's offensive game, child. I don't know. Because she was struggling last game, and we do not need that. I'm hoping tonight she comes back ready to hit some buckets. I just don't get it, to be completely honest. When it comes to Lexi, seriously, I don't get it.
Inconsistent.
Don't get it. Can't hit a layup. Can't hit a three, can't buy a bucket, can't hit the bright side of a barn. I mean,
Lexus said you can't get rid of her now. She here.
But I mean, I don't know what it is, honestly. I do like her. I do like her play, but man, this shit is just, it's too much sometimes. But hey, shout out to Superfly J for the super chat.
When you lay your head on that pillow at night. I gave you everything I had.
See you, Superfly J, for the $5 super sticker. You always support, and we definitely appreciate you for that. But and then the vinyl, it's like I just don't think they're the better team, so I have a hard time picturing them beating us. But you're right, like they definitely have more there, I guess you could say. Like you got Ray Burrell, who's super athletic, can hit the three, could get downhill. She just got to learn body control, and she be a silent assassin on any team she's on. And then, I mean, Ryan Howard, if she locks in, De'Erica Hamby, if she locks in, who you got starting for the Rose though?
I actually want Nas, Slim and Chelsea to start. Let Azira come off the bench. Stretch the floor a little bit, but I would limit a 0 minutes in a game like this, because you got Aaliyah Boston, and you got De'Erica Hamby, who both like to work in the low post, and that's a negative for Stevens. So I would lean towards Nas over Stevens just for this particular lineup, because again. Basketball works in a crazy way sometimes. Aaliyah Boston has not been having a good unrivaled season, but this type of game, she would show up.
Yeah,
because Stevens is out there versus Reese being out there, limiting her paint touches, limiting her effort. Because what Reese does that a lot of people don't show up on the stat sheet is Reese gonna make you work on the other end. So when you come to your end, you don't got your legs no more. You're trying to catch your breath and you out of the play now. So that's one great thing about Reese that doesn't show up in the stat sheet. So Nas Hillman brings that same kind of energy on the boards as well. And just in on the court in general, she kind of brings, like, she's like 80% of Angel Reese's energy. And that's enough for to guard Hamby and have playing time against Aaliyah Boston. That's enough to limit what they got going and not let Aaliyah Boston get going. Because Steven starting, I would be like, Aaliyah Boston might get to some spots, man. You know, Stevens is long, but she's, I don't consider her a true defender. If she's right there at the rim and you're not a big, she gonna 9 out of 10 times block your shot just because her hand is already at the rim. But when you're a big who can body her, they can move her off her spot.
Yeah,
she's not a real rim protector like that. So, but that's my starting lineup for them. And again, Arike not playing, so our backcourt, their defense should be a little better today.
Yeah, that's a fact. Jordan Canada is kind of fast, but I think we can keep up with that for sure. I'm with you on the starting lineup. I like that. Chelsea, Nas, and Sykes. I think that'll be a great lineup. Maybe switch Sykes out, put a double big in, maybe take Sykes out, put Lexi in, maybe take Nas out, put, but we're gonna see Chelsea play a chunk of minutes. I bet you that she's gonna be playing a lot of minutes.
Chelsea Gray might play all but 3 minutes. She probably give her a breather at the beginning of the second, and she ain't gonna come out after that. Cause she's gonna play the whole third, and then the fourth quarter is to 11. So she's gonna play the whole four. So that's how I'm looking at the minutes. I'd be like, that's why I always used to give Nola a chance with Angel Reese, because I'm like, is she gonna let her play the whole third? And then the fourth quarter, who's ever out there is gonna be out there. Teams usually don't sub in the fourth because it's to 11. So they don't, especially the team that's up, they don't lose the sub in the fourth. So I'm like, okay, if she play Angel the whole third, I'm good with her taking her out in the first quarter, you know?
Yeah. I hope that they come out and just punch them in the mouth for real. Like, I need them to stretch that lead. Yeah, and keep it up. Just come with that intense energy, because now they have this revived confidence because they won last night. You beat the best team in the league. You was down. I mean, that gives you a lot of, like, that boosts your morale. So I feel like they're going to come out guns blazing. And so we got to kind of hit them back with that intensity. But with that being said, we definitely got a shout out for the Rose. What we feel was the weekly all-star, Chelsea Gray. We've been talking on and on about her, honestly, this whole entire episode, 39 points, amazing fourth quarter. But honestly, the entire season, she kind of picked it up and showed everybody why she's the point guard and let everybody know, like, hey, I'm not done yet. So shout out to Chelsea Gray, our weekly all-star. I'm cracking up. What? Hey, I gotta figure out. She be like,
hit me up.
Hey,
Chelsea, like, hit me up. Ace is that new contract. Hit me up. 2026. Hit me up.
Thanks.
Let's go.
Thanks. Hey, shout out to Chelsea Gray as usual. And we're gonna get off into this last topic before we head on up out of here, y'all, because we know y'all want to go get y'all pizza, your wings, your fries, all of that to be seated for the Unrivaled Championship game, which, keep it locked, y'all. Me, Zoe, Show, HD, and B will be right back with you after this, because we're going to be covering the Unrivaled Championship. But let's get a little bit off into women's college basketball. We cannot leave them out because we have that coming ahead, March Madness. Listen, the number one seeds is UCLA, USC, Texas, and South Carolina. We got some great games coming up for sure. I think they start playing on March 28th, if I'm not mistaken. What you thinking about these seedings, the brackets, who's going to play who? What you thinking?
I'm okay with and again, today we're just going to talk about the number one seeds. For those who are listening, if y'all wonder why we ain't getting into the other teams. I'm okay with USC and South Carolina, but I thought UConn would get it over Texas. I just thought UConn would get it over Texas. So, because UConn had one of the highest like net ratings, which the net rating is 65% of what they use to determine the seeding. And I think they had like the highest or the second highest net rating, like as far as like efficiency of ranking. So I was shocked that they were in the number one seed. And I think UConn and SC is in the same bracket. Like for me, I think they fumbled this because they had an opportunity to have UConn, USC, South Carolina, and UCLA in your final four, and they fumbled it. Now UConn and USC might end up playing in the Elite Eight. Like, I think they fumbled it. But we'll see. I ain't got no problem with the number one seeds. I ain't even got no problem with Texas. I don't think Texas is gonna go far. I got USC making it to the final four. I actually have USC versus South Carolina in the championship game.
USC is gonna be taking on UConn in the Elite Eight.
I think so. Yeah, they're on the same bracket.
Okay, that's a revenge game for Juju. So yeah, that should be interesting. UConn knocked them out.
That's gonna be a high televised game. Like, I'm interested to see the ratings on that game. That game gonna have some ratings. That's why I say they fumbled the bag. You could get UCLA versus South Carolina and USC versus UConn for your final four. Look here.
Yeah.
Look here.
Yeah.
Look here. That'd have been one and one for the ages. But I'm actually not too fond of UCLA either. I got UCLA losing in the I got UCLA losing in the Sweet 16, and I got Texas losing in the Elite Eight.
Okay.
So I'm interested to see who comes out of those. Again, we'll dive into that at a later time, but for the number one seeds, I have no problem with the number one seeds. I would have just put UConn in over Texas, being that South Carolina is already coming out of that conference. You know, you got people, and that's a lot of people not realizing. Texas not in Big 12 no more. They're in SEC now. So you got two number one seeds coming out of one conference.
Yeah,
you know
exactly. I think UCLA makes it to at least Elite Eight. I will say that. I don't think they get far though. I don't think that. I think that I don't know. I don't think they get that far. But I gotta look at the brackets again and really take a look at it. But they're very soft to me.
Who's soft?
UCLA. It's something about. Yeah, it's definitely something about them and like their play too. To me, it's not that amazing. Like, just very simple. We got to dump it into Lauren. If Lauren don't got it, then she passes it back out to the guards and hope the guards got a shot. It's like, it's not complex at all. She don't switch up from that typically. So we gonna see. I definitely think there's gonna be some upsets too. But as far as number one seeds, you know what I'm saying? This is what we got. I know South people feel like, and I think Dawn expressed that she felt some type of way about being put where she was put. Snub. Listen, this is what we got.
Dawn had said something?
I don't know if it was Dawn specifically, but people were saying like, oh, South Carolina was snubbed or something like that. I don't understand why. I don't know if it was because of because you telling me they're a number one seed, but I don't understand. I got to understand like what puts them where. I think they felt like they should have been put in a different division or something.
They probably wanted to be in Spokane.
Yeah, you Lindsey Gottlieb said the same thing.
But she they're playing in Alabama, which is closer to South Carolina than Spokane is.
I don't know.
Because USC and UCLA got Spokane. So they got the Spokane because Texas and South Carolina is on the same side of the bracket. Facts. So South Carolina got to play teams like Alabama, let's see, Duke, Texas, Tennessee, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Louisville, and TCU. They got to play those teams. They got a tougher. No. If I'm doing, I'm cool. Maybe she didn't like it because of the competition. Because the other side of the bracket, you got Georgia Tech, Richmond.
UCLA's is definitely easier, I think.
Yeah, Baylor, Grand Canyon, who was 32-2 this year. LSU, Michigan State, NC State, South Carolina. I mean, Southern Cal, USC, Cal, Kentucky, Iowa, Murray State, who was 25-7. You got Florida GC, who was 30-3. I mean, Oklahoma State, UConn. I mean, that's a tough bracket. Mm-hmm. Spokane is actually tougher. So I don't know.
Yeah. She was saying, like, how, what's the point of doing? Because she was saying they be doing. Yeah, they be doing.
So she must have meant who gets. So South Carolina ended up getting the 2 seed in Birmingham. Texas got the number 1 seed. So Texas actually has an easier scheduled to the Final Four, to the Elite Eight than South Carolina does. Because South Carolina got to play Tennessee Tech, Maryland, West Virginia, Oregon State, North Carolina, and Duke. Texas only has the only competition Texas really has is Tennessee, Ohio State, maybe, and Notre Dame and TCU. So that's day 4.
Yeah, but so
South Carolina got a tougher bracket.
Yeah, so she was saying, like, what's the point of doing? She was saying, like, out of conference play. You know, y'all want us to do out of conference play, but it actually, it works against us, or something like that. She was saying, or whatever, because of where she ended up being placed. So I think that was her gripe with it. I don't know what Lindsay's specific gripe was as well. But she felt like they should have been the number one overall seed, period, like of all the teams type stuff. So, and it was UCLA who was number one of all teams.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's up for, discussion on who thinks what, as far as wins and losses, but, yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean, so, South Carolina's first game is against Tennessee Tech, who went 26-5, and Texas' first game is against High Point. That's William and Mary. They may play one Division II school a year. Division I school a year. It gets tougher. I think Texas gets tougher when they get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
But to start, South Carolina has a tougher road to start. Texas got an easy road, so Texas won't really face a challenge to the Sweet 16.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you got them making it past the Sweet 16?
I got them losing to Notre Dame in the Sweet 16. Let me confirm, though. Let me relook at this.
Child, if Notre Dame would get their head on straight.
Let's see. No, they wouldn't play Notre Dame. They wouldn't play Notre Dame until the Elite Eight. So the only team that can beat Texas before Elite Eight is Tennessee, in my opinion. Because Notre Dame, TCU, and Michigan, they all on the same side of the of Birmingham. So they all got to play each other to get to the Sweet 16.
Okay.
Yeah, so because Michigan and Notre Dame going to play each other in a round of 32. If both of them win, they're around the 64. They're gonna play each other in a round of 32, and possibly I'm thinking Louisville versus TCU. That's going to be an interesting matchup. Haley Van Litt versus an old school. They got a round of 32 matchup.
Yeah. So that's I heard that. It will be interesting.
I can't wait for us to dive into them because there's some interesting backstory matchups that if you don't really follow the college game, like the players throughout their careers that a lot of people are talking about, like that Louisville versus TCU possible round of 32. That'll be a good matchup. You know, so I can't wait to the episode where we really dive into them. I'm excited because I got some backstories for a couple of these matchups.
For sure, for sure. Hey, y'all already know, keep it locked and loaded for March Madness, where we're going to be getting into a lot more of the matchups between the teams, the backstories, what teams should have did, could have did to make it over the hump. And, hey, we're going to have some upsets coming up. It's going to be a great March Madness. I think the views is going to be out the gym even more this year. And so I'm really excited to watch, you know, women's college basketball and definitely see it grow. But listen, y'all, thank you for coming through for Excuse the Takeover, where me and Prince give our takes on the latest and greatest in women's basketball. And we got some news for y'all. You feel me? We will be moving
about the schedule. Keep moving forward to Wednesday.
That's what I was about this. I was about to hit them with it. Hey, we will be moving to Wednesdays at 6 p.m. the same time, but we will be moving to Wednesdays, but it's for good reason. The reason why we're moving to Wednesdays at 6 p.m. It's because we got an even greater show coming on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central Time. Listen, y'all just sit back and watch, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about what we're going to get into, and we're going to get out of here for the championship game.
Yeah, learn. Dribble the drain, record the debate. Talking about hoops, no room for the fake. Star Hoop Central, the spotlight beams, where hoop heads clash, dissecting teams. Sky high takes from the art to the paint. Truth on display, no room for complaints. Bounce that thought, let the dialogue ring. Star Hoop Central, we reign in the game. Pick and roll knowledge, alley-oop flows. Crossovers in convo, the rivalries grow. From the ghosts to the rookies, we frame the tale. Slam dunk opinions, the details prevail. Sky high takes from the art to the paint. Truth on display, no room for complaints. Bounce that thought, let the dialogue ring. Star Hoop Central, we reign in the game. Fast break the logic, no time for delay. Full court press, every word that we say. From zones to the man, the schemes we unweave. Breaking the box score, we don't just believe.
Hey, I love that trailer. I love that trailer. Listen, on Mondays, we bringing it to you. Stars Hoop Central, you don't want to miss it. It's going to be me, Prince, Showtime, HD, B, and Shamaria. Man, just coming through with a lot of basketball knowledge, women's basketball news weekly, every Monday at 6 p.m. And then me and Zoe is going to move over to 6 p.m. on Wednesdays. Y'all don't want to miss Stars Hoop Central. It's going to be a banger. Trust me, you got to come through. And we always appreciate y'all coming through to Excuse the Takeover. Without y'all, man, the show is nothing. So I appreciate y'all for growing this, for always coming through weekly to hear what we have to say. I mean, we're getting a lot of compliments. I'm hearing we the best show out right now. Everybody like coming through, hearing our dialogue, how we break down the game, what we talk about. All of that. Everybody's loving the energy, and I'm loving y'all energy. It's, without y'all support, we nothing. But listen, we gonna get over to the championship live, y'all. So keep it locked. We will be going live from our own channels for the championship game and Unrivaled. Hey, it's gonna be a good one. So make sure y'all come through. Okay, you got any last words, Prince?
Hey, look, man. Appreciate everybody who been supporting us. Again, we literally put this together and we were like, let's see how they feel about me and your chemistry, our takes, and the balance that we bring to the women's basketball game. And the appreciation has been on full display from everybody. I mean, every show we have minimum 100 people viewing us. So again, and that's huge because I'm at 3,000 subscribers, but my channel is still growing. Key isn't even at 1,000 yet, so get Key to 1,000. If you're one of my three subscribers and you're not subscribed to WBB Universe, go over there, W Two B's Universe. And go subscribe. Go show her love. Let's get her to 1,000 subscribers as well. Because when you do reach that 1K mark, they put you in the algorithm a little bit more. Other people from other countries are able to see you a little bit better. YouTube is just funky that way. So let's help Key beat the YouTube algorithm and get her into the algorithm so everybody can hear her intelligent takes and her fan base can continue to grow as well. Again, look, somebody emailed me and was like, this is the only show my boss lets me listen to work at night. I was like, he was like, y'all don't do no cursing. My boss even had it on the speaker. So even his boss is subscribed to both of our channels now. So shout out to Derek. Shout out to my dude Derek. He emailed me literally and was like, me, my boss, my night shift boss, and some of the workers listen to y'all because he worked night shift. So he gets to work at 4 o'clock. So he listened to us while they working night shift. He works in a factory. So they got us on the loudspeaker in the factory probably right now. So shout out to everybody in Derek's factory. And we appreciate the support. If y'all not subscribed and y'all at that factory, go hit that subscribe button. Again, WBB Universe and I Am Zo Media. We just want to give y'all a shout out. Shout out to you, Derek, again, for the email. Shout out to your boss. And shout out to all of y'all, the ones who've been writing me on Instagram, who've been on our community post when we post about the show. Those of you who be in the chat. Look, without y'all, our show is just a show. Like, just like basketball. Basketball gonna be basketball, but fans make it entertaining. Y'all support as subscribers make this show electrifying. And again, remember, we're on all your streaming podcasts. If you want to listen to this while you're in the car going to work tomorrow, look, type in excuse the takeover. You got to type in the whole thing, but you don't even need to type in the whole thing. If you go to the description underneath this video, all of the links for Deezer, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, the links for all three of those podcasts are in there. And again, on there, we're almost at 10K views. We're almost at 333 downloads. I think this is Key first time even hearing that because I try to share it with her weekly. I was just running around today, so I wasn't able to screenshot it. But we're at 333 people have downloaded. And again, that's not one person downloading it three times because the download is associated to each email. So that's 333 different iCloud emails that have downloaded our show. And that's over 10,000 people that have listened to our show, not on YouTube, on the podcast streaming. And we've only been on there for two. This is going to be the third week, full week right here.
Yeah.
So 333 downloads from 333 emails and over 10,000 listens in 2 weeks with only four episodes are on there. That's appreciation from y'all. That's the love that y'all put in that makes me and Key want to get up, want to get to this desk because every day ain't easy.
Yeah, every day for sure.
Get to this desk. Some days
for sure.
This desk.
That's a fact. As somebody who works a 9-to-5, and somebody works a 9-to-5, then I get on here and look at another computer screen. Trust me. Yeah, this is the stuff.
Hey, shout out to Keto, man. Look, I'm a boss, so I could move my schedule around like I want to. But the 50 people that's still in here listening, give Key a shout out on her next live stream or even while you're listening to this one. If you've never even been in the chat before, give Key a shout out because Key literally logs out of work and logs on to give y'all this good content. She literally logs off work and logs right back in to give y'all this good content. No break, no meal, nothing. She just goes straight here. That's the dedication that she puts in. So show her some love in the chat. Show her some love when you on her next stream. Again, if you one of my 3,000 subscribers and you're not subscribed, that's a better reason to subscribe than any other. That shows you the dedication that she puts in to this Excuse the Takeover show. So shout out to you, Keith. I want to give you your flowers.
I appreciate that for sure. All right, listen, next week, March 24th, we're going to have Stars Hoop Central Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern and then 5 p.m. Central. But just because you watch Star Hoop Central on Monday, don't mean you don't bring your black behind. I'm just playing. Mean you don't bring yourself over on Wednesdays to catch us on Excuse the Takeover. that's giving you good content throughout the week, seriously. And then, you know, we all go live sometimes in between that. So, hey, keep it locked. Again, we can't thank y'all enough, but we're going to catch y'all on the next Excuse the Takeover. Be safe, all love, and we out.
Excuse the Takeover, taking charge, women's game front and center, living large. Hit that subscribe, stay tuned to the ride. We're bringing the heat, never gonna hide.
Analyze and chat, every stat interact, breaking barriers. No cap, that's a fact. Leave a comment below, watch the growth unfold. Together we gonna make this story be told.